观众朋友们，大家好，欢迎来到杭州惠灵顿外籍人子女学校的直播间。今天我们直播的主题是在惠灵顿国际学校，我们是在小学部，我们是如何学习英语的。那今天呢，我们有幸邀请到了我们 Year One 的主班老师 Miss Angie， 还有我们惠灵顿外籍人子女学校小学部的学术副校长 Miss Vicky， 还有我们小学部的助教老师 Evelyn。我叫James， 我是学校负责市场和招生部门的负责人。那我们直接进入我们的第一个问题。家长比较关心的第一个问题呢，是在小学沉浸式的英语教学当中，家长对孩子英语学习最大的焦虑通常来自哪里 ？The first question is in primary immersive English curriculum. Where does parents' biggest anxiety about their children's English learning usually come from?
Right, in lower primary, I feel that a lot of the anxiety for the parents comes from how to support the children at home. What to do, what tools do they have at their disposal to be able to adequately support their learning and help them through their journey?
Yeah, I would say like another kind of concern from parents is maybe like, you know, if they've come through nursery and it's like a very much like, you know, play-based environment, they might be a little bit anxious about them starting like what they call like the big primary school. And so like, I think it's really important that we continue sort of like that love of learning, that play-based environment, but like encouraging them with the English immersive environment in like a friendly and supportive way.
Thank you. Evelyn 老师能帮我们翻译一下？
好的，没问题。关于这个问题呢，我们Miss V 老师回答是，主要家长的主要焦虑来自于怎么样去更好的在家里面支持学生，还有他们可以为学生做些什么。然后呢，并且我们家长可能还会觉得，孩子们从幼儿园到了我们的小学部的时候，可能整个环境发生了很大的变化。那这个时候呢，他们可能对于自己的英语不是很自信，所以说也会对于这方面产生一些焦虑。
谢谢。那第二个家长比较关心的问题就是担心孩子在幼儿园阶段的英语基础没有那么好，而且呢，由于惠灵顿一年级课程是从五岁就开始了，所以说他们特别害怕到孩子到国际学校以后呢，他听不懂全英文的课程。那我们是如何解决这个问题的 ？The second question is many parents are worried that their children's English foundation is not strong enough during the earlier stage.And year one in Wellington College International Hangzhou starts at 5 years old. They're afraid that their children won't understand the all English courses after entering an international school. And how do we address this issue?
I think that is a really big concern and is a very valid concern because not only are they coming to an immersive environment, they may be moving in from other nurseries, not many friends around them. So it is a very big change stepping into that big school, as you were saying.But they need to know that we are there to support them. We are there to support that initial step. We do take it slowly at the beginning. It's not jumping into an immersive environment straight away. There is a building in period and an easing in period. We have our lovely TA Ms. Gong, for example, in year one, and she brings a lot of that aspect of well-being, ensuring that they're being understood, that they're being heard, so it's a little bit easier for them to settle in.
Yeah, like, you know, as like Angie was explaining, like we have two adults per every class. And so it's really good for to have like Miss Lydia be able to like translate some of the key parts and then restate it like in English. Like a lot of it is done like, you know, with practical hands on activities reinforced through like songs and games. And so it's not kind of, you know, the children aren't put on the spot. They're very much encouraged in that like language immersion.But supported by adults who can also speak Chinese. So it very much is like, you know, a gradual easing in period.
Right. So more like it's at the beginning, it's like a bilingual environment and then gradually turning into like an immersive English.
I'd say that it's more like, you know, it's kind of the distinction between like translating and what we would call like translanguaging. You're kind of providing like for the children, like the context, the like the background of what's happening in Chinese so that they can listen in and understand the keywords in English. So it's like a difference between just like a bilingual education is more like translating exactly what the English teacher is saying. But with translanguaging, it's more providing the context. So using the strengths of their first language to help them develop and build their, you know, language development in a second language.
So how long does it take usually for those year one pupils to really get into, fit into this full English environment, as you, according to your experience?
Within a month, they've got the routines. There is an initial period where we focus on them understanding the incidental language of everyday routines. Open your books, get the glues, open the door, and we go through this over and over again, initially with the teaching assistant support, and then gradually that is removed, pushing the children to understand that by themselves. Once we have that solid foundation of understanding the incidental language of our routines, then we can start moving forward. By that point, they know the routines, they know our timetable, they know what the lessons will entitle, what they need to do, and it just all follows from there. But it's taking a really good care and focus on those first 4 weeks to ensure the things that need to be in place are.
Yeah, I would say, like, when I pop in, you know, nowadays, like, it is a completely, like, English immersive environment.
Absolutely.
You know, they are learning, they are talking in English, they are speaking to one another, they're speaking to you, they're even speaking with Miss Lydia in English. You know, like, you could see a huge amount of progress in a very short amount of time. It's just in those initial, like, early stages where you may need a little bit more support. But certainly by now, like, the children.
And it's creating that dynamic with your teaching assistant as well, because with Miss Lydia, it's great. At the beginning, there was a bit of translating, but then now she knows it's more that, let me tell you how to say, even in a couple of words, and then you can go and express yourself to Ms. V, and we keep moving them backwards and forwards, and they enjoy it.
Right.
They enjoy to see how their language is growing, that they can express themselves to someone in English, and you can see that courage just building up slowly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And those pupil from our nursery, they have certain kind of foundation in phonics or English. I guess they can fit in more quickly to our year one?
Yes, absolutely. And they actually bring in a lot of wealth of information to the newcomers as well, because they understand where the teachers are coming from. They understand a lot more of the language of our routines. So they can help the friends settling as well. They also bring a lot of wealth in terms of their English knowledge, their reading, their speaking as well. So it infuses to the other ones and it starts creating that atmosphere of we're all in it together.
Thank you. Evelyn 老师，能帮我们总结一下？
好的。关于这个问题呢，我们 Miss V 刚刚说到，就是说，孩子们可能觉得从幼儿园到我们一年级之后，可能是面临着一个没有朋友的这样一个处境，所以对于他们来说呢，也是一个很大的挑战。但是呢，他们要知道一个道理，就是我们来这里的目的呢，是由老师来去进行支持的。比如说在刚开始的时候呢，我们在 Year One 是一个很慢的一个开始。那我们与此同时呢，班里面也是有两名老师的。其中我们的 Miss Lydia 呢，她也是会帮助我们的老师进行一些翻译。比如说当我们老师在说一些句子的时候，她会把一些关键词汇去给她翻译出来，并不是说完全的依靠翻译让孩子们知道我们在干什么，而是说一些关键词，这样可以让孩子们去培养成一个聆听的习惯，也是有助于发展他们的英语水平的。并且除此之外，您刚刚也说到说大概这个周期会有多长，我们 Miss V 老师刚刚说的时候，就是大概前五个星期是比较重要的，因为这个时候呢，我们需要他养成一个很好的习惯。比如说，你首先要打开你的课本，你要去找到你的固体胶，你要去把你的衣服放到你的柜子里面。当他们在前期把这些习惯养成的时候呢，我们会跟他把他的第一语言跟第二语言进行连接起来，通过第一语言的一个优势，然后来发展他们的第二语言。
后面我还提到了，就是关于我们幼儿园的孩子进到Year One 是不是会有一些优势。其实 Miss Angie 也提到，我们幼儿园的孩子，因为他有一定的英语基础，
对，
所以说他进到我们Year One 以后，其实可以起到一个非常积极的角色。
对，可以帮助其他小朋友去更好的适应我们的新生活。
对，
并且除此之外呢，他们可以把在幼儿园学到的一些知识，比如说很好的阅读、很好的书，给加入到这个班集体当中。
对对对，谢谢 Evelyn 老师。那家长比较关心的另外一个问题就是对。在幼儿园阶段有一定自然拼读基础的孩子，我们又有什么样的建议能让他们更快的提升英文？ The next question is, for children who have certain foundation in phonics during the earlier stage, what suggestions do we have to help them improve their English more quickly?
I think in terms of improvement, it's very important to keep that close communication with the teacher.Phonics is a very progressive program. It's extensive, so it's important to know where your child is at that stage. What sets of sounds are they learning? What red words are they learning? What green words are they learning? If you're having this close conversation with your teacher, you'll be in a better position to be able to support them where it's needed.
Yeah, as a school, we send home, like, you know, a lot of like great resources that parents can use to kind of like also like recap and reinforce the learning at home. Angie makes these great videos that like reinforce every single week the language that the children have encountered. So at the moment you're doing polar animals, aren't you?
Polar animals,
so the idea,
yes.
You know, so like I saw Angie on Monday on Ding Talk, like sent home, you know, a video with like all the key vocabulary, you know, there's spaces for the children to repeat it back. So there's lots, and there's also challenging vocabulary on there too. And like, you know, Angie's really good at being able to say, right, you know, for an extra challenge, use these words in a sentence. This animal lives in the cold because. And so the idea of like getting the children who already have, as you say, a foundation in English, there's also challenge for them as well. So the challenge of like a level, you know, like we have native English speakers who are also like, you know, absolutely, in our classes. And so it's important that they also receive the challenge that they need, you know, to be able to move their learning forward.
Right. So, and you made those videos yourself?
I do. And I think a lot of that comes from my son went to Hoi Li for a few years. Mm-hmm. So all the homework was in Chinese. Mm-hmm. And me having to struggle with understanding and supporting with the homework, it gave me that parental point of view and mm-hmm. how can I support because I was in their shoes.
Yeah.
So I found that that was a very efficient way for the parents to engage with it. Their children see the video, they can follow along with it. The parent doesn't have to worry if they're saying it right, if they're using the right sounds, because they're not saying it. I'm the one saying it, and the children can say it after me. Mm. So all they need to supervise really is that they have access to that video, that they're following it, and then that just is tremendous help for them.
You just make parents' life much, much easier.
The way I want.
Yeah.
The kind of support that you would like as
do
a parent.
Love it. Yeah,
but
parents,
the same
yeah.
time, I can imagine the workload you've put into this.
It's worth it. It's yeah. worth it. The results are there that you can see.
Oh, yeah. When I come in, yeah, you can absolutely see like the
video?
Hardware page.
It's 10 minutes?
It's two videos. One is for the vocab, which is about 15 words or so. And then there is the sentences as well, because that for this to stretch the guys who are a little bit more confident, mm-hmm. I send sentences that they need to say after me. So it's putting that vocabulary into context and then stretching their oracy by mm-hmm. having to strung those words together. So overall, it's about 3 minutes.
Right. I guess your parents love it.
They do engage with it a lot, yes, which I'm very thankful for because it does offer a wealth of support for the children.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Evelyn 老师能帮我们总结一下吗？
好的，关于这个问题呢，我们 Miss V 刚刚说的，其实家长很重要的一点呢，是要跟老师保持密切的沟通，你要知道自己的小朋友现在目前是处于哪个水平，我们在学校里面学了什么，哪些红色，哪些就是红色字，哪些绿色单词，然后只有你知道这些之后，你才可以去更好的在家支持我们的小朋友。并且呢，我们的 Miss V 老师每一周呢还会制作一个大概3分钟的视频。这个起因是因为Miss V 他自己的小朋友呢是在我们惠利学校读书，当然很多时候那个作业呢是在中文来表达的，所以说他也是舍身处地的为我们的家长来着想。然后同样的方法呢，他给我们的惠灵顿的家长制作了一个视频。那这个视频呢大概是包含了一些15个字关键词汇，还有就是用这些词汇去延伸的一些句子，这些句子呢是说在我说完之后你要去重复我说的话，其实用这样的方式来帮助小朋友提升他们的英语。并且呢我们刚刚 Mr. Walker 也说了，我们每一周的时候呢会在一个我们的钉钉上面会分享一个视频，这个视频呢包含了我们这一周要学习的主要的东西，并且也是有一些固定句型的，比如说这个是什么，因为什么什么，把这样的句型给学生展示出来，这样的学生可以有根据我们的模范来进行学习。
谢谢 Evelyn 老师。那刚刚进入直播间的朋友，你们现在观看到的是杭州惠灵顿外籍人子女学校我们关于小学一年级如何学习英文的直播。那现在在直播间的是我们一年级的主班老师 Miss Angie 和我们小学部的学术副校长 Miss Vicky， 还有我们的小学部的助教 Evelyn 老师。我是学校负责市场和招生的负责人，我叫 James。那我们下一个家长比较关心的问题呢，是从专业老师的角度来看，家长在小学阶段应该通过哪些信号来判断孩子的英语学习是否在一个健康的轨道上。 The next question is from a teacher's perspective. What signs should parents look for to know whether their children's English learning is on the right track?
I think it's very important to look out for that enjoyment of learning the language. Those factors that show you they're willing to try those new words at home, to tell you about what they're learning in school, even if it's in Chinese, when they're expressing it to you, it shows that they're into their learning, that whatever they got that day has captured them. And that means they have used that language, they're enjoying that process, and that's what it takes to then develop it further.
Mm. Yeah, because we do like report sort of every term, like on children's speaking and listening, so parents can know whether they're working towards their expectations, they're meeting them, or they're working above. But Angie says very much in the early years, it's about that enjoyment. Does your child want to come home and speak to you in English? Does your child, like, you know, enjoy sharing what they've done at home? And it's like Angie says, even if that's in Chinese, it shows that they're understanding it. Mm-hmm. So even though parents might say my child is a bit reluctant to speak English at home, we do find that because it's a totally different environment. Like, you know, parents might, you know, understand that actually in, like, you know, in our school, they're speaking in English like all the time. So it's quite a supportive environment. And so, you know, like, kind of, to, you know, if children are enjoying what they're doing and they're mm-hmm. eager to share at home, those are some of the signs that, like, their English speaking is, like, really on track.
Yeah, I think Angie's perspective is totally a new perspective for me, because most of the Chinese parents, they'll look at the school reports, they'll find, like, how many score you get for English, and that shows if their children is on the right track. But Angie's opinion is, like, if your child is willing to speak English or learning English at home, that's their interest.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we look at it from an adult's perspective, learning a new language, and we put ourselves through that process, we are willing to do it. And we know that it's embarrassing. We know that there are humiliating parts that come with it. The children haven't taken on that responsibility willingly. Mm-hmm. They are put there because it's the school that was chosen for them. It's a really tricky environment because it's a second language. So we need to ensure that we're building that enjoyment of the language, of that learning journey, encouraging them and just showing them that it's a new opportunity, make the most of it. Mm-hmm. And it's very early to turn it off for them. You know, let that come later if it must. We need to ensure that we open that door for them and show them that, hey, this is great. Let's get mm-hmm. on with this.
And we encourage parents, like, you know, not to kind of like put their children under pressure at home to sort of like perform or to speak in English, mm-hmm. because, like, you know, we want the children to enjoy it, because if they enjoy it, those will foster those, like, lifelong learning habits. Like, we have lots of opportunities for parents to come in and see their children, like, mm. speaking English. You know, for example, just on Monday afternoon, like the upcoming Monday next week, we're inviting parents into mm-hmm. our English lessons so they mm-hmm. can come and see their children in that environment and see them speaking English. And I think that, you know, when you see Angie's class and you see how confident the children are, how, you know, much they love speaking English and talking about their learning, like, I think that, you know, that speaks volumes, really.
Right. I think this is the biggest difference between, you know, the international school education and the public school education. In the public school, I think most of the English teachers, they kind of blame the student if they're doing wrong. But here we appraise their advantages. Absolutely. Or the things they're doing well. So keep them interested, keep them kind of passionate about learning.
Yeah. And exactly, like, there's that saying, isn't there? Like, you know, there's an English saying, practice makes perfect. Mm. I always say to children, it's actually practice makes progress. Mm. Like, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, because mm-hmm. that's what, like, you know, results that's in progress, not perfection. Yeah. That's what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. We're looking for progress, not perfection.
Yeah, progress. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Evelyn 老师，能帮我们翻译一下吗？
好的，关于这个问题呢，我们 Miss Fee 刚刚说到，他比较推崇的一个词汇呢，就是享受这个过程。我们的小朋友呢，回到家的时候，他是自己愿意去尝试的，尝试的去跟自己的父母去表示他们在学校里面学到了什么。即使是用中文来说，他们这个过程呢，也是一个积极的反馈，说明他们在学校里面是非常的享受我们这个学习过程的。然后除此之外呢，我们的 Miss Walker 刚也说到了，我们其实每个学生呢是有一个报告的，他们可能是会分为不同的等级，比如说是在这个等级之上，或者是之下，或者是需要继续努力。然后我们可能想说的是，我们这个期盼的标准呢，是希望孩子们想要去说，可以去非常的享受他们在学校里面所学到的东西，即使是用中文。那这样子的话，我们可以去培养他们的热情。刚刚我们的 Miss Walker 也说到了，我们实践中可能追求的不是完美，而是我们在实践中追求一些进步。只有在这样的一个鼓励式的环境当中呢，我们才可以让小朋友呢，在这个长期的一个学习过程中是开心的去学习的。
嗯， 谢谢 Evelyn 老师。下一个家长比较关心的问题是小学阶段的英语学习和幼儿园以及未来的中学的英语有什么本质的不同？Next question is, what is the fundamental difference between English learning in primary school compared with nursery or senior school?
I think the biggest difference is in primary school, we need to build those really solid foundations. Those starting building blocks like phonics, the confidence to try oracy, even if it isn't perfect, ensuring that it's there.Giving them those very early grammatical structures such as capital letters, finger spaces, full stops, all of those things that are just the foundation of what we do with English so that they can later on be able to explore with more difficult language and more difficult topics.
Yeah, and that also like progresses through the primary school as well. So you might start off in year one, children being able to, you know, like write a story with three parts. So like a beginning, a middle and an end of a familiar story. So it might be like, you know, we're going on a bear hunt, you know, that popular children's story where the children write their own versions. And then as they get older, you know, like in year six, you're expected to write, you know, maybe a story with five parts. So, you know, setting the scene, building up the characters, maybe a conflict happens and that conflict has to be resolved. And then, you know, creating an ending that's really engaging and like captures the reader's imagination. And also like as the children got through primary and they've established like those really fundamental aspects of, you know, speaking, first of all, reading and writing, they're then applying them to different areas of the curriculum. And that's even within the primary school. So we have children in year five, you know, they might be, they're writing about like, you know, comparative reports about space and the planet. You might have year four writing about a volcano that's most interested them linked to, you know, the story of Pompeii. And so, you know, that's preparing them for senior school when they apply it in different areas across the curriculum.
Right.
Yeah, I also think towards the lower end of primary school, you get the children coming in with varying different levels across the strands. So we have speaking, listening, writing, and phonics. And within those strands, children can be in lots of different levels. So if we find what their areas of work are, and we try to bring those up to an even level by the time they finish those lower levels of primary school, then they're in a much better position to take their language further and use scientific vocabulary and debating vocabulary later on.
Yeah, and using like exposing them to lots of different genres and ways of writing. You know, first of all, you know, you were talking like earlier about ways of speaking. So speaking like a scientist, speaking like a historian, you know, also the writing style that comes with that. So, you know, we expose them to lots of different genres. So they learn how to write instructions. They learn how to write like reports. They learn how to write persuasive letters. They learn what it is to like, you know, create a leaflet or, you know, stories, diary entries. So we expose them to all of those different ways of writing, not just the strands, so that by the time they get to like senior school, they've got a really solid foundation of what it is and how to write and speak, you know, and read in different ways and in different genres.
Right. Have you integrated those kind of English learning into like project-based learning?
We don't call it project-based learning, but we certainly like make those links across the curriculum. So for example, when they're learning about the Romans and, you know, the story of like, you know, escape from Pompeii, the children will do like diary entries based on like how those characters might have been feeling, but they also research and write about their, like, you know, a volcano of their choice. You know, in year six, for example, the children created like a Mayan museum. So they researched actually areas of like the Mayan, like, history period that they enjoyed the most, and then they had to create something to showcase to parents. So we also try wherever possible to make sure that like there's a really like real audience and purpose. So the year threes, for example, also created like, you know, about how to eat healthily, and then we shared that like, you know, with Sodexo, who do the school meals, and they were able to plan like a meal that would be healthy for everybody. So like we think that a lot of it is also making the work, like the learning that we do in primary school, like relevant to real life, but also that children have those really like authentic like audience and purpose for writing.
And it's cross subject and it's definitely more interesting, I think.
Thank
you. Evelyn 老师能帮我们总结一下？
好的，关于这个问题呢，我们的 Miss V 刚刚说到，他比较推崇的是坚实的基础，因为在这个时候呢，我们比如说我们有我们的自然拼读课，希望学生可以自信的去说，并且呢，我们希望专注在最开始的时候，比如说他们的 首字母要大写，我们的字母之间要保持一定的距离，我们在句子的最后呢需要有一个句号。关于这样基础的一些知识，我们希望它是可以很坚实的，并且呢像我们刚刚 Miss Walker 也提到，我们在可能在 Year One 的时候呢，我们在写作的时候可能只是简单的三部分的写作，但是我们会随着我们英语水平的不断推进，可能到 Year 到六年级的时候，我们可能是需要有更多技巧的，比如说有不同的人物角色的描写，有更多的一些创造性的结局的书写，使用更多的技巧来编写五部分的一个书写过程。然后并且除此之外呢，我们的这个整个学习过程它是分为不同的部分的，比如说像我们四年级目前在学的是火山部分，然后五年级呢在学的是关跟太空相关的一些部分。那我们在这个时候呢学习的时候，其实是通过不同的主题不同的部分，然后他们不同的学科之间进行一些关联，这样子等到他们去到中学的时候，其实是一个很好的一个过渡。特别是当我们在写作的时候，我们是会根据我们的不同水平来进行主题的不同主题的写作的。比如说我们会包括一些信件的写作，一些故事的写作，还有一些日记的写作。那在这个写作的过程当中呢，其实就是不但要写出来，他们随后还会有一些口语的练习，整个过程是相互连接在一起的。
谢谢伊芙琳老师。下一个家长关心的问题呢，是很多家长发现孩子能听懂英语的指令，但是呢却不太愿意开口表达，这个在小学阶段是不是一个正常的现象？那老师通常会如何引导这些学生？ The next question is, many parents notice that their children understand English but hesitate to speak. Is it normal at primary level, and how do teachers support this?
It is totally normal, especially at home, because in school we create this culture of we're in it together, we all have different strengths, I can take a chance with my friend, it's not that embarrassing. But if I am on show at home and I am the only one and you're asking me to say something, it's really embarrassing. So I think the children go through that process, and in school we see a different side. We see a little bit more courage coming out of them. It's also a lot easier to encourage them to speak in school because all of our friends are doing it. So if we're all presenting, even if it's a 30-second presentation, it's something that we're supporting that oracy and we're supporting that language to come out of them in a natural way. So I think the parents are in a bit of a disadvantage there in terms of seeing their children speak English unless they come to school with the many opportunities that we offer them and they can see a glimpse into that.
Right.
And I think like there's like, you know, like they call it like the silent period, like when you learn a second language. And I think even if I think of like my own...you know, like my own Chinese learning, like I can understand a lot more than I can speak. And so, like, I think it's really important for parents to understand that your child, like, it's a really good first step that they're understanding everything. Mm-hmm. They might be a bit reluctant to speak at home, but, you know, as Angie says, they're not in that immersive environment just now. And also, like, I often say to parents, like, feedback feels a lot more personal coming from your parents than it does from a teacher. They know that we're all here to, like, you know, we don't judge them, we like to support them, you know, like, it's not as, they don't feel as, like, bad about getting things wrong in front of us and they might do their parents, you know, the parents who love them, who, you know, think the world of them. So sometimes it's also to do with that aspect as well, as like not just the environment but also that feedback feels a lot more personal coming from the people you love the most rather than like teachers and students who they know we give feedback to all the time.
So if the parents, they want to see how the children's speaking level is, come to school to see
come to the events, like watch the videos.
We do share a lot of those things, took videos of the children doing their oracy exercises. So that's a great way to get a glimpse into just how much they're speaking in school.
And it's funny because sometimes you share those videos and they go, oh, I didn't know my child could speak that much English. Really funny for them to see. And you see them go out the room going, I know you can speak English now.
So it's a kind of psychological issue for the little pupils to feel embarrassed to speak in front of the parents. When they like speak it in the school, it's like a safe environment for them, and also the peers are doing
everyone's doing it, you know, everyone's speaking in English, so it's, you know, you're not being different in that way, like whereas at home it is a totally
different.
And I think as a child you also have that thing that you don't want to let your parent down. So you probably gauge where the expectation for your parent is and go, I don't think I can meet that expectation, so I'm not even going to try. While in the school, the expectation kind of fluctuates a little bit depending on the topic we're addressing at the time, and they can pick just two words, and as long as they're communicating, we know we're in the right track. But it is a totally different environment to express yourself in.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Evelyn 老师能帮我们总结一下。
好的，然后关于这个话题呢，我们 Miss Lee 刚刚说到的是，我们主要是其实这个现象在我们小学部是非常非常正常的。那我们需要做的呢，就是去鼓励他们去开口多说，特别是我们每天呢，即使是给他们30秒的时间，去给他们每个人有一个表达自己去演说的一个机会。然后我们刚刚 Miss Walker 也说到了，我们这个其实在他作为一个母语是第一语言是英语，然后当他在学尝试着去说中文的时候，他觉得他的理解力是要先大于他的说的这个能力的，所以说他也可以理解小朋友就是有这样子的问题。特别是呢，我们在这个时候呢，学生们其实是在家长面前，当他们去说英语的时候是感觉到有一些尴尬的，因为我们在学校的时候呢，每个同学每个人到处都是一个英语的环境，所以即使他们觉得有时候会犯错误，他们不会觉得不好意思。比如说在学校的时候，我们给他们的目标呢是会是在他们的这个能力的上面一点点，他们这个时候呢就可以是尝试着去说，即使是一个词两个词他们可以去尝试。但是如果在家的话，可能家长给他们一个很好的期待值，这个时候呢他们可能就不愿意去尝试了。所以我们也说到，像我们这个下个星期一我们有邀请家长来到我们学校的英语课去做观摩，所以如果你想要看到自己的孩子很好很自然的去说英语的一个状态，就是欢迎大家可以来到我们学校的一些活动，或者是我们发的一些视频。对，
嗯，好，谢谢一平老师。下一个家长比较关心的问题呢是，他们经常会听到自然拼读这个词，但是呢可能没有完全的理解。那能否请二位老师用简单易懂的方式给我们的观众朋友们介绍一下什么是自然拼读，为什么它这么重要。 Next question is, many parents heard the word phonics a lot but may not fully understand it. In simple terms, what is phonics and why does it matter?
What is phonics? Phonics is sounds. In one simple word, it's the sounds. It's a sound that we adhere to a letter in able to be able to make words or to read words subsequently. Why are they important? It's because they are the building blocks of pretty much everything we do in terms of reading and writing with the English language. Now, we have a really comprehensive program in school, which is Read Writing, and it addresses all the sounds in the English language in a very systematic way. So we have three sets of sounds. We have the initial sounds, which the children start off with, and then they progress on to the next ones when they have that capability too. It goes from learning the sounds to being able to blend those simple sounds into words. That comes coupled with learning tricky words or red words, which are words that we can't use our sounds to read, such as R. Mm. And then they learn those simultaneously. And eventually, once they're able to blend those initial sounds and just read simple sentences and some of those tricky words, then we can keep on evolving onto the next sounds. It is important because not only do the children need those to read, and not just in year one or two, as they progress throughout primary, they will need the foundation of those sounds to be able to read trickier words and explore harder vocabulary. But because when they write, it's the tools they use to write. So when you say a simple sentence, the cat is red, that may sound very simple, but the children need to go through the process of the cat is red for words. Again, I think we underestimate as teachers and our parents how hard these processes are.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to write a simple sentence, it's not just to say it. That's just the initial phase of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we need to go through, how many words do I need? Oh, it's 4 words. But then that comes with finger spaces, which I need to think about as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can do that. But then I need my sounds. Oh, hold on. There, I can't use my sounds for.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see how many tricky words I know and let me apply that knowledge. Then I can go on to the next word. Oh, wait, I forgot my finger space. There are so many aspects that the children need to go to, even to do something as simple as write, the cat is red.
Mm.
That we need to be aware of those and be able to progress them slowly or at the right pace through those sounds of that program so that it brings the right benefits.
Yeah, and I think as you're saying, like, you know, phonics isn't just that reading side of things, it's also like the writing. So, you know, when they learn like the sounds, like you can even do it before they even start to read, like, you know, oh, you know, where's my cup, you know, and then they can like blend in with cup. So the idea is that you're building sort of like meanings of words from like the sounds. Mm-hmm. So it's the, basically phonics is the best way like for children to learn how to read. And, you know, introducing them to the vocabulary so that they understand, you know, like once children can read, like, you know, like they fly in English, you know, it's different from the Chinese reading system. Mm-hmm. Like basically once you've learned all of your sounds and you can decode the English language, you can read anything. And mm-hmm. then it comes about like, you know, the later systems of introducing the understanding and developing the comprehension and those meaning of the words. But phonics is the very first part of that journey.
Right. And so when will we, like in which grade we will finish providing the phonics learning?
It's dependent on the student. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we have children like, you know, who are new to the school all the way up through primary who might need phonics instruction.
Right.
We do find that the children like come off phonics very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very like structured and a very rigorous program. You know, and the children move quickly through it.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows that it's working. You know, our children, like, you know, learn to read. Like, in fact, like, obviously, because it's my job, I did, like, a little bit of data the other day. And, like, for our new students who joined us in August, between August and December, on average, those children's made over a year's worth of progress in their reading age.
Right. Like, a year's just progress.
In only 3 months on average. So some children made up to 19 months worth of progress.
Wow.
So it shows that our like approach to phonics works because those children added like, you know, over a year in just 3 months.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
So like, you know, it just shows that what we do in terms of that foundation of phonics and teaching our children to read like is really successful for our students.
Mm-hmm.
I think that being really careful with the program so that it targets our particular children because they are learning English in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of naturally matching like the sounds to words initially, we do a lot of matching the sounds to pictures, to words that are familiar to them. And that just helps them to assimilate the process that little bit quicker rather than being thrown in the deep end with vocabulary they don't know. That has made a huge difference in how quickly they
grasp making those links. Like, you know, like using the like the pictures, like the widgets, like so that they understand, like, you know, you're building that comprehension like as they're learning as
Thank you. Evelyn 老师能帮我们总结一下吗？
好的，没问题。我们说到自然拼读呢，可能它就是首先第一项就是发声，这个发声也包括了比如说这个字母呢是由哪些不同的音节去组成的，包括它是怎么样去读的。其实它不仅仅是一个读的问题，它还就是由读可以观察到我们的写作，特别是当我们在进行学习的时候呢，会有一些是红色的一些单词，这个是什么意思呢？就是说它是根据我们的正常音节的组合是不能发出来的音，所以这个时候是一些比较我们另外需要去注意学习的一些词汇。比如说像我们Miss V 刚刚说到的一个 The cat is red， 可能就是说四个单词对于我们来说是很简单的，但是当我们在写的时候呢，可能说当我要写的时候我好像忘记了我要第一个字母要大写，或者说我在写的时候，哦，不对，我可能还有一些我的这个距离在两个字母之间。当我在写完之后呢，我可能还要说，哦，我好像忘记了写这个句号。所以说可能是简单的四个字，但是我们在学习的时候呢，是有不同的过程来组成的。然后像刚刚James 老师您也问到了说，在整个这个学习过程当中，大概它的一个过程是要多久？其实这个呢也是取决于我们的一个学生们的一个不同的情况。但是呢，我们Miss Walker 刚刚也说到，他其中呢记录了一个学生，他是在8月份加入我们的，然后在12月份的时候呢，其实3个月的过程，当我们才从8月份的一个成绩到12月份的一个成绩，3个月的时间，他其实进步的空间呢是有1年的空间，进步还是非常大的。所以我们在这一块对于学生自然拼读的一个培养上是非常的有成就感的。
谢谢 Evelyn 老师。那下面的一个问题呢，是对于刚进入小学的孩子来说，自然拼读学习通常会经历哪些阶段？ The next question is for children who are just starting primary school, what stages does phonics learning usually go through?
So the stages it goes through is those initial sounds. we have those initial sounds, which are individual letter sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we take them through the process of learning them. It's usually one sound a day or every 2 days. It's quite a speedy process that they go through, matching those sounds to the initial sounds of a picture. Once they have those sounds, we will move towards them blending those sounds into something we call CVC words, consonant, vowel, consonant words like cat and hat and pet, being able to use those initial sounds. We would then introduce the set two sounds, which is where we have a digraph, two letters together making a new sound. They will couple what they knew before with those new sounds and then just evolve from there. Those tricky words that I was explaining about earlier, those will increase as well and go on to the next level. So not only is their ability to blend and decode using those sounds increase, but also their knowledge of the tricky words and the vocab around it will increase at the same time as well.
Mm.
Yeah, and we also teach like the writing skills alongside that. So for example, you know, they might have been introduced to like a set three sound. So like, you know, some of the other vowel sounds like E, like from cup of tea. So, for example, like if they were, you know, sounding out the word seat, you know, eat, but then we also get them to sort of spell. So we mm-hmm. say like, oh, how many sounds? And then push the sounds so they can know that they're writing eat and they know the letters that correspond to those sounds. So they know that in the sound E, it's the letters EA.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of introduce that system alongside one another. So mm-hmm. it's a very systematic program that builds their fluency and their ability to read over time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Evelyn 老师，能帮我们总结一下吗？
好的。其实我们从最初，我们关于这一块呢，我们 Miss Lee 刚说的是用歌曲来进行一个学习。而这个歌曲的话，我们是由不同的，最开始是有单独的这个字母呢去进行学习的。比如到后来的时候呢，我们会把这些基础的字母学完之后呢，我们会给它总结成两个字母一些混合的音素，然后去一些混合的字母混合在一起去学习一些更长的单词，或者在我们后来进行的一些写作的时候呢，也会加入一些我们的红色单词，比如说我们后来有cat 还有 hat， 就有这样的一些词进行一些比较。然后我们在最后进行写作的时候呢，也会像刚刚 Mrs. Walker 讲的那样，就是说 eat a cup of tea， 通过这样的一个过程呢，其实是可以让学生把这些音节去给拆分成不同的部分，然后这样子他们在写将说的时候还有写的时候是可以更加的自然流利的。
嗯，好的，谢谢伊凤老师。下一个家长比较关心的问题呢，是如果用一个整体的框架来概括惠灵顿小学部的这个英语学习路径是怎样设计的，自然拼读在其中处于什么位置。 The next question is, how would you describe the overall English learning pathway in WCH primary and where does phonics fit into it?
Well, I would say that like phonics is kind of like the foundations of like, you know, I would like separate out like the English, like kind of like program of study into three different areas. So speaking and listening, reading and writing. So reading very much is like the phonics, like, mm-hmm. you know, like building of like that, those reading skills, because, you know, before the children, you know, the children need to be able to learn to read. So that's very much like one aspect of the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So in Wellington, we have every day, we have 45 minutes of reading or phonics a day, depending on where those children are within their learning. So first of all, like if they're new to phonics or they're new to the school and don't have a phonics foundation, they do 45 minutes a day of phonics. Once they complete the phonics program, they move on to like guided reading, reciprocal reading. So that's still with small groups, like at the level of which they're reading. And the writing program is different from that. So speaking and listening is across not just English, but also across science, humanities.
Yeah.
So it kind of is across like all of our curriculum, I would say, like the oracy, the speaking and listening side of things. So the children are expected to speak in like sentences, to take part in debates, to give presentations. So that's how we kind of build the curriculum around oracy, like mm-hmm. in those different areas. But also then we have separate to that, the writing program. So we have 1 hour of English every single week, and that's on top of the 45 minutes of reading every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, the children will get exposed to like different styles of writing. So they might explore, you know, I'm just giving like, you know, I'm going
thinking.
On a bear hunt. Maybe you would like to talk about the going on a bear
yeah.
hunt.
I'm just thinking the one we're doing now. We're yeah. doing mm-hmm. Ice Dragon. Now. And in science, we've got everything about polar animals and how animals adapt to living in cold places. So we're talking about what they eat, what they look like. Mm. Then we have humanities where we are talking about explorers and which explorers have gone to Antarctica and how they dressed and what they saw. But then our writing outcome is going to be a non-chronological report on ice dragons.
Mm.
So they're going to adapt this ice dragon and pick any ice animal that they've learned about and what they eat and what they look like to create their own chronological report. So I think over the years, we've created a really nice flow in the curriculum where the children get to use the vocab from all the other subjects and just blend it in with their oracy, with their writing, and the, just a general language development.
Yeah, exactly. And like those kind of skills that they develop in those like foundational years, like, it, you know, the genres then become, you know, more complicated.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, they might look at like, you know, year three, we'll be looking next in the next couple of weeks, actually, at trying to persuade like, you know, Mrs. Fraser, the head teacher, to make changes to the school garden.
Mm.
Whereas actually, like the older that they get, they might be persuading, you know, like somebody to, you know, for example, year four are doing like a water advert. They're building up to that. So they're actually got like a real like genuine audience and context,
right. This is for what they're also doing. Related to the real life, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Like, yeah. You know, I think that it's really, you know, like it's far more motivating for pupils to write about something that's like authentic or real life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and to have like a real like reason for writing and creating something.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really motivates the children, and it's also a skill that they'll need for when they're older. You know, like, you know, when you write as an adult, you have to consider, first of all, who's this piece of writing going to? Like, what's my audience?
Mm-hmm.
What am I trying to do? Am I trying to persuade that person? Do I need to inform them of this? Do I need to explain this?
Right.
You know, all of those different styles. You know, we have those four different, you know, reasons to write, don't we? To entertain, to inform, to persuade, and to explain.
Yeah.
And so throughout our primary curriculum, the children learn to do each one of those, and they get to apply them in different ways, in meaningful ways, but also, as Angie was saying, make links to the other parts of their learning. So, you know, for what they're doing in science or what they're doing in geography or history.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it really brings kind of the English side of things to life for our children. And also for many of our children for whom English isn't their first language, that opportunity for them to use that vocabulary twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they understand,
exactly,
like,
yeah,
not just what the vocabulary is in science, but how can I use that to explain what it means to melt something?
Yeah.
Or can I explain the water cycle? So they're bringing together the vocabulary from different aspects of the curriculum together in a meaningful way.
Yeah, it just adds a world of context, I think, and it just makes it more purposeful that I'm learning something because I'm going to use it in this way. I'm using the word melting in science, but that's not just because it's a science word, but because we're going to go outside and it's snowing and look, it's melting on my hair. So it's that context and that appropriate scenario for those words that just motivates them. And sometimes they don't even realize that they're writing an English piece. I am just writing here what I have been practicing in all the other subjects, but it just sounds fun because I've put it into a context.
I think purposeful is, it's just the right words for that, because
purpose.
I'm linking this to the study journey when I was in the public school system. It's like the English learning in the public school is not purposeful. So that's why most of the children in the public school, the kind of lack of the passion to learn English, because they don't know why I'm learning this. But in our school, it's linked to every subject. It's linked to the real life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, once children like can see the purpose or the reason behind writing something, they want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a lot more meaningful for them. Like if they know that they're going to share this with the head teacher, or they're going to, you know, like be able to share their reading with their friends or with a younger audience, or, you know, with their parents, as my year six Mayan museum, like it gives them like, you know, that motivation. And as we said, like when children take risks in their learning, they grow. And so that's a really important message that I think we want to deliver to our curriculum.
Yeah. And I think this is an immersive winning, right?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Part
of
that bigger picture of immersive, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Evelyn 老师能帮我们总结一下吗？
好的。关于这个部分呢，我们老师刚刚也说到了，其实我们在惠灵顿的时候呢，在早期阶段，我们每天呢是会有45分钟的阅读课或者是自然拼读课。如果说你是没有自然拼读基础的话，那么你就会去每天去接受45分钟的自然拼读课的学习。那如果你一旦完成了整个自然拼读课程的学习呢，你会被带入到不同的小组里面，就像我们的 Miss Walker， 她也在带不同的阅读小组，然后每天是会进行这样的一个训练。并且呢，除此之外，我们每天在这个45分钟的 基础之上，每天呢还是会有一个小时的英语课程的一个学习。然后这个时候呢，其实我们会把这个学科呢是给融合起来的。比如说像我们现在三年级是在学习这个 As Dragon， 是在学习这个部分的时候，我们会说这个龙呢是怎么样在这样一个寒冷的环境中去生活的，它看起来是什么样子，它是吃什么样的食物。所以说当从这个主题出发之后呢，我们会结合到我们所学的人文的一些课程中去联系起来。比如说在故事的结尾呢，我们的小朋友呢也会从他们已经学过的动物当中去选择一个他们喜欢的动物来进行他们自己的写作。然后除此之外呢，我们还说当他们在选择这样有，刚刚你也提到了他们是有目的的进行一个训练，其实这个方法呢也是可以让他的母语不是，就是说母语不是英语的一个学生呢可以进行两次的训练，这样子他可以把不同的学科结合起来，并且是在他们真实的生活当中可以去用起来。这样的一个结果呢会造成学生们想要去更多的去学习，并且呢愿意去跟他们的朋友老师和家长去分享他们所学到的东西。
嗯，谢谢 Evelyn 老师。那刚刚进入直播间的朋友们，你们现在看到的是杭州惠灵顿外籍人子女学校我们关于小学一年级如何学习英语的直播。那下一个家长关心的问题是老师们可以分享，是否可以分享一些课堂中的教学活动或者是实践的案例，如何帮助孩子们更好的掌握自然拼读。Can you share some examples of activities or classroom practices that help children master phonics?
Okay, that help them master phonics. Repetition is key for phonics. So I think the fact that we do the lessons every day and the children understand the sounds that they've learned previously and we revisit before introducing something new is key. Using the sounds and using pictures rather than words to match those sounds, I think it's great benefit for our children as second language speakers because it gives them something else to grasp rather than just maybe unknown vocabulary at that stage.
Yeah.
And bringing that along into every other lesson as well. So not just having phonics as a standalone lesson, but when we are writing in science on the board, modeling something for them, modeling the use of those sounds when we're writing. For example, the ice is melting. We would always have the phonics card next to us and go, the, can you remember that tricky word? Ice, what can we use to write ice? Let's look at the sounds. Being able to follow and model that constantly. I think the children just make the link that it's not just a lesson that I forget when I leave phonics. It's something that I practice throughout the day and every day so that I can just progress and get better at it.
Yeah, and in every classroom we have like, you know, the complex speeds chart. So that has all the phonic sounds of it. And so like teachers, you know, as you say, will kind of like model that throughout like lots of different lessons so that the children understand like the building blocks of language and are kind of like reminded of that like throughout their like everyday writing, yeah.
Right. Repeat, use vowels.
Yes.
And also modeling it.
Modeling it and constant, the understanding that it's what you're doing every lesson and for every purpose, not just in the phonics lesson.
Right. Thank you. Evelyn 老师，我们翻译一下吗？
其实我们 Miss V 老师刚刚说到一个就是我们的自然拼读课，就是我们每天呢都会进行对于自然拼读进行这样的一个训练，比如说我们是会用一些图片、一些歌曲来就是进行这些词汇的一个重复记忆。并且除此之外呢，我们是会给学生一些模范，就是一些范本。然后在每个教室里面呢，我们也是会在教室的后面贴上一个关于我们阅读的一个表格。这样子的话，我们在课堂的时候不仅仅是自然拼读，在我们的其他学科当中也是可以每天去重复的进行训练。所以说总结下来就是我们可以去重复，然后利用图片去帮助学生记忆，还有就是跟学生一些模范的一些句型。
嗯，谢谢伊布林老师。下一个问题呢，是我们通常会如何评估学生的自然拼读和整体的英语能力？评估的目的是什么？The next question is, how do we assess pupils' phonics and English abilities, and what is the purpose of those assessments?
Well, we have assessments just to make sure that we have an understanding of where the children are currently and what we need to do next to help them to improve. So I'd say that's the role of any assessment. It's like, where are the children now? like, and what do, you know, and does it tell us what they need to do next to get better and to make their improvements? So like that thing I was talking earlier about practice makes progress.
Mm-hmm.
So the children get assessed in their phonics every 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see their progress within the phonics. So it's either that they move to the next group where they start learning the next set of sounds and everything else, or they stay in the same group and they consolidate, like they revisit it. They learn it again. They maybe have like an intervention that helps them sort of like, you know, learn what they need to do next. So that's kind of like how we use the assessments in terms of the reading. You know, as the children get older, like, you know, it's a lot of like what you observe in the classroom. We do a lot of like familiar texts where we might we share stories with the children. We ask them questions of different types, and they will have kind of like their assessments within that as well. In terms of the writing, you know, what we're sharing before is we have like, you know, different genres that the children work through like every 3 or so weeks. And so the children get to do sort of like, you know, they get to have it like modeled for them. And then they do a write where it's an independent write so that they do that completely like unsupported. So then as like teachers, you're able to sit down and say, right, you know, these are aspects of grammar that we need to look at again, or this is what we need to do next to address some of these gaps. Or maybe this child actually needs to learn how to do this as their next step, but this child maybe needs to revisit this. So it's a really good tool for teachers to be able to think about, right, where is this child now and what do they need to do next to get better? That's the only reason, you know, for assessments in the first place. It's where are they now? What do like we as teachers need to provide for the children to help them get better and make progress?
Yeah, those assessments are the indicators for a teacher to make those study plans for pupils. And all our study plans are based on those kind of scientific results.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like just like, you know, that kind of like academic rigor that we think is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we have like we follow the English national curriculum. And although we have many learners who are not first language English speakers, we still hold our children to those high standards.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us to still see like what it is that we need to provide for our pupils to make sure that they continue to grow in their learning and get better.
Yeah.
I think it's also very important to highlight that aside from like the data and the rigor and the assessment, what we've worked on over the years is doing that formative assessment really well as well, which is where we work with the children, mostly in small groups, and we're able to see firsthand what they can do, the mistakes they're making immediately, and we're able to have that conversation with them. What are you missing here? Have another read. Can you spot the missing word? Can you spot the capital letter that you're missing? Or just check and have that conversation. And I think that allows us as teachers to really get to know our children and putting those different steps in place. So we get the big data that allows us to know where our class is and where to move forward. Mm-hmm. But also we have that close connection with the children to know how to move them to the next step individually.
Yeah, and we get the children to be part of that process too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the children get used to being able to like check sort of like, you know, a success criteria, something that shows them the steps that they need to include. So we also help, you know, empower our children so that they can say, oh, these are the things I've not included. Okay, let me go back with my purple editing pen and make those changes independently, because you're then building those like, you know, those foundations for our children. They need to know where they make mistakes. They need to be able to understand what it is that they need to do to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, us as teachers, like there's a responsibility in us to provide that. But I also believe we have a responsibility to our pupils to teach them the skills of self and peer assessment so that they themselves understand it where they are within their learning and how to get better.
Yeah, review the exams with the pupil is a really efficient way for them to improve.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you. Evelyn 老师能帮我们翻译一下吗？
好，首先呢是对于我们的自然拼读的话，我们是每6周都会有一个评估的，然后这个评估呢可以让我们知道我们的学生目前是处于哪个水平，然后下一步他应该是怎么样给他进行更好的规划。然后我们的写作呢也是一样的，我们平均每3周左右都会让学生写一篇属于自己的报告。那这个报告的题材呢，可能是一些特定的题材，也有可能是一些就是根据我们目前所学的主题，他们选择自己的主角，然后来进行书写的文章。并且这个文章呢是根据我们目前所学的一些关键词汇，还有我们的语法特征相联系的。除此之外呢，我们说 在这个正常的评估之后，我们每个班级呢也会有一些小组。那这个小组呢，就是说当他们犯一些错误的时候，我们老师会立刻的去纠正一下，去帮他们检查一下这些错误是哪一些。就是说我们不单呢有这个结果呢，可以看到我们整班级里面整体的学生他们都目前处于哪个水平，我们还要根据每个学生他们目前各自的水平是怎么样的，也是一个很紧密的联系。并且除此之外呢，这个数据呢也可以去帮助老师去进一步更好的去计划下一步的一个计划。比如说我怎么样去可以更好的支持我的学生，可以让我的学生发展得更好。那学生呢也可以用这个数据来知道自己是哪些地方有一些不足的，他可以我哪些地方是需要提高的，我应该怎么样去提高。
谢谢伊布林老师。下一个问题呢是在英语学习方面，家长最常见的一些误区有哪些？
The next question is, what are the some common misunderstandings parents have about English learning?
I would say one of the big misunderstandings is that I must be able to speak really good English at home to support my child to learn English.Or if I'm not very confident in English, I should use the English I have to support my child at home. I would say to that, actually, like, you know, that your, like, you know, your Mandarin, like for a child is much more valuable for them than your broken English. Like, that's what I would say to parents. It's really important that they're able to, like, as we talked about earlier, for your child to share what they're doing in English with you in Mandarin, and for you to ask follow-up questions about what they're learning in Mandarin. Because once children have a first foundational language, they can then grow more rapidly their second language. So I'd say there's sometimes a misconception that, you know, oh, I don't have very good English. I can't really support my child at home. I would say actually you can by still having those rich conversations with your child about what they're learning and to, like, you know, engage with the things that, you know, Angie in our school sends out to support your child at home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree. Also, the speed. There is this misconception that it's a speedy process.That everything will happen really quickly and the teacher will support this process that will magically happen. It's a long process. It's a long process with different stages. As we were talking earlier, it's a very difficult process where the children go from taking in what's being said, translating it, thinking of an answer in Mandarin, translating that answer, and then finding that limited vocabulary to express themselves.That if we're talking about speaking, if we're talking about writing, we were talking about all those skills that are necessary to be able to write a simple sentence. It's a lengthy process, and it's a process that comes in different stages. You'll see grow in some areas. You'll have parents coming in saying, but my child's a great reader. I don't understand why they can't write. They need to go through that process of using those sounds to read. Brilliant. Then the comprehension needs to come with that.And comprehension only comes with an extended vocabulary that they can understand in context. Mm-hmm. That comes with time and exposure. And then writing skills will come after that. So it is a lengthy process that goes by stages, and comparisons and speed don't usually do the favor that it needs to do.
Right. So parents just need to be patient.
Patient and encouraging. And, like, you know, progress isn't always like a linear thing. Like, sometimes you might have some years your child makes really rapid progress, and then, so, you know, so I think it's important to, like, you know, remain encouraging, like, keep that close communication with teachers. Like, I think that's really vital.
Yes.
And also just talk with your child at home. It doesn't matter what language, just speak with your child at home, encourage them to talk about what they're learning, you know, be excited and positive about it. And I think that's the best thing for children to, like, really, you know, grow and take risks, and that's what will enable them to make further learning.
Right. It's actually quite interesting to know that the first language development will help the second language learning.
My degree before I did teaching was in linguistics. Like, there's so much research out there that showsthat actually strengthening the first language will only ever support your child in the second language. But I hear a lot of misconceptions of, oh, I think I only need to speak just in English at home. You know, yes, you can use English to support your child. We much encourage that. but it's actually more important for your child to have strength in their foundational language because they draw upon it. You know, as you
they
were saying
do,
there,
yeah.
you know, when they hear a question in English, they're translating it in their head to Chinese to answer it in Chinese to convert it back
it's
in English.
Process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If they don't have a strong, you know, foundational language, that mm-hmm. process becomes a lot harder and it actually hinders their progress in English. So
yeah.
that would be the biggest misconception, I think, is that I need to be able to speak in English at home to support my child. Your child will make great progress. You can support them in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the other ways that they can be supported is increasing that exposure via music videos that
audio
are suitable
books.
For their age, audio books, nursery rhymes. And the more repeated they are, let's say on a daily basis, if you stick to one nursery rhyme for a week, that repetition will train the ear, will train the sounds,
mm.
and you see some results if that's a way you want to choose to support your child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My son is 3 years old and he likes to listen to English music.
Oh.
He likes to listen to one specific English music
yeah.
for quite a long time, and then he
Good.
Started to repeat
Good.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's how they learn.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah, so when parents ask, how can I support? It's one of the things I always say. If your child likes nursery rhymes or audiobooks and it feels like they're getting stuck on the same one, that's when they're learning. Don't feel that they're just stuck on that one because everything else is boring. It's because they've caught one or two words in there. And they're like, I've got something. Maybe if I keep listening to this, I'll get a little bit more. So you don't see the progress immediately, but it's happening. Hang on to that.
And sometimes I always hear like, oh, you know, my child doesn't enjoy reading, but they like being read to.
Mm.
And so I would say like, you know, have the, you know, that's wonderful. They're learning that language. They're being exposed to that vocabulary. You know, I've suggested getting an audio book and the physical book for that parent because then their child can follow along. They're not cognitively overloaded with trying to like make sense of what they're reading, but they can follow along, you know, like reinforcing those patterns. Like it's all good.
Yeah. And also you mentioned that it's not like a linear progress. It's
not
like up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Just remind me of like a famous quote. Sometimes we bloom, sometimes we grow roots.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just like learning a second language as an adult. You know, you start reading a book. I'm going to put an example in Mandarin. You start it and you need to translate so many words because you don't know it. But by the end of that book, you feel so good about yourself, but so apprehensive about starting that next book because you're going to have to go through the same process again.
Yeah.
So it's
up and down.
You go through
the
same process, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Evelyn 老师能帮我们总结一下吗？
嗯，好的。关于这一点呢，其实我们家长可能有一些误区，主要是说我是不是在家应该用很好的英语去跟我的小孩子进行沟通，或者说我的英语不是很好，那我是不是可以尝试用我现有的一些英语水平来跟我的孩子沟通？其实我们更建议的是呢，学生如果想要跟家长去分享的时候呢，可以是用英语来分享的，但我们希望家长呢可以用您的第一语言，比如说是普通话来跟学生进行沟通。因为我们可以刚刚前面提到了一个学习的过程，其实呢，当我们的孩子他在听到一个问题的时候，他第一步是需要先想一想，然后在脑海中呢把这个问题呢需要去翻译一下，然后在翻译完之后呢需要用中文给讲出来，然后整个过程其实是非常漫长的。所以说我们希望家长呢也可以给孩子多一些理解跟支持，他是需要一些时间的。然后在这个基础之上，我们才可以去更好的发展学生的理解阅读理解的水平，然后再经过一定的时间，我们可以去发展学生的写作水平。所以说整个过程是一个螺旋式的过程，并且我们会说家长如果除了跟学生说这个英语之外，我们会鼓励其他的方式，比如说可以用音乐，可以用一些有声的读物或者是一些歌谣来帮助小孩子去用兴趣来触发他们学习。这样的一个过程是一个重复的过程，但这也是我们学就是我们整个取得进步的一个过程。所以说可能目前您暂时看不到学生的一些进步，但是它是一个螺旋式的过程，所以将来是一定会有收效会有成效的。
嗯，好，谢谢 Evelyn 老师。下一个问题呢是家长经常会纠结口音教材的选择，或者是是否需要给孩子做额外的补习。从老师的角度你们会如何看待这个问题？ The next question is parents often worry about accent materials or extra tutoring. How do you view these concerns?
I think accents are not a concern at all. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't feel, as a child goes throughout their academic journey, they will meet lots of different accents. So it's not like they're just getting stuck in one, and it's only beneficial that they're going to get to hear the different ways of saying the same word. I don't see
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, even like, you know, within the United Kingdom, like, we've all got, like, you know, everyone's got different accents.
It's about dialect.
Like, yeah, it's like totally different. So I don't think that that's like a concern as well. In terms of like materials, I feel that, like, you know, like, we at Wellington like provide a lot for our parents to like engage with and support their children at home. So I would say engage with those materials. As for sort of like outside tutoring, like particularly in the early years, I always say to parents, like, your child will be tired. They do a lot of learning at school. The school day is like quite long. Actually, what we provide for them is enough. Like, yes, it's an exhausting process learning, like, and oftentimes, like, you know, a second language. They need time to play. They need time to like be a child, you know, and we offer, like, you know, like our, like the homework that we provide as well can give parents, if they want that extra challenge for their child, they can engage with that and, you know, take part in the extra English competitions that we offer at Wellington and things like that. There's always opportunities for your child to grow. But I would say that it's also important for them to like have child, you know, have time to be a child, to play and, you know, to relax after like what is a long, you know, exhausting really day at school. You know, they do a lot of learning that's packed into our day. So, you know,
I think if you want to get a tutor, and it's a thing that you must do, I think it's really important to think of it from the child's perspective, and maybe think about somebody coming to play with your child in an educational way rather than maybe bringing another book over and more sentences and more handwriting. Think of it of playing a game, playing a game of cards to practice those numbers, playing, I don't know, building a puzzle and talking through that puzzle as you're doing it, about the animals, about the colors, and building that vocabulary and that oracy and competency in a fun way rather than just maybe more worksheets and more books.
Yeah, you want that same philosophy. You don't want someone who's going to kind of put the child off learning English if it's like not in a fun and engaging and supportive way. If it's a similar philosophy to what we have at our school, then that's fine. But it's very important that we want the children to love English, to love speaking English, to be motivated to learn more. And that can, you know, like, we want to protect that, essentially.
I think if parents are too kind of urged to get the children to learn English, it will overconsume their passion. Maybe they will lose the interest.
It will, yes, it will put them off. It's the unnecessary repetition of something that really puts someone off, because they're burned out by the end of the day. It's been a long day for them. Some of them go from essays to academies and then to something else. So in terms of a 5 or 6 year old, it's a very long day. If you must do something after that, just ensure it's something that's keeping that motivation going while also infusing that educational purpose in it.
Thank you. Evelyn 老师能帮我们翻译一下吗？
好的，没问题。其实这个呢，对于我们老师们来说，学生们接触不同的口音呢，是一件很正常，也是一个很棒的事情。特别是我们在幼儿园、在小学阶段听到各种各样的口音是非常正常的。然后我们如果我们同时其实是比较希望家长可以就是更及时、密切的跟老师取得联系。然后呢，我们还有个建议，就是说不要的去过度的辅导我们的孩子们。如果说我们想要去给我们的小朋友请一些家教或者是一些额外的辅导，我们会建议我们有一些带着教育性质的一些玩耍，比如说可以是一些卡片，可以是一些游戏，也可以是一些拼图，然后来帮助学生们对他们的演讲能力的提升，还有单词的提升有个进一步的提高。然后呢，除此之外，我们希望就是不要给学生一些更多的写作或者是一些有计划的一个时间表，因为我们的学生呢，其实在学校其实是有一个非常长的一天了，并且我们的课程计划安排的是非常的满的，所以希望家长呢不要着急，要有一些耐心。如果说您过于着急的话，可能会让小朋友失去学习的兴趣，所以说我们希望家长可以去放平心态。对，
谢谢伊布林老师。那最后呢，我们想请两位老师给我们即将升入一年级的学生家长有什么样的一些幼小衔接的建议。A final question is, for parents who wish to support their children on their English learning journey, especially those whose children are about to start year one, what advice would you give on supporting a smooth transition from early years to primary?
Adequate support for their age.I would say just be very cautious that in terms of the English, again, making it something that's enjoyable for them, ensuring that you are sharing that passion for that journey and maybe showing that you are as anxious about it as they are, just to share those feelings and say, it's okay, we're going through this process together. If you want to prepare them in terms of English a little bit more, exposing them to the audiobooks, to the nursery rhymes, to train their ear and just to develop their language a little bit more, I would say go down that route rather than the more concrete maybe and heavy road of repetition and writing. Mm-hmm. Ease them into it. It's exactly what we do at the beginning. So Laviki was saying, having that same philosophy of working together and taking it step by step, it's what will put them in the right path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, like, you know, this is an exciting like time for your child, but just relax. Yeah. You know, it's not going to happen overnight.
Enjoy it.
So, you know, as you go in, like, be excited for your child. You can be nervous, but don't like show them that. You know, like, be excited for your child, like starting school. You know, like, be really upbeat and positive. Be really supporting, really encouraging. They might come home and they're a bit tired, you know, but the important thing, you know, for me is like that whole idea of practice makes progress. And we want our children to come, you know, our children love coming to school every day, and that's really important for us. And so just, you know, to parents, it would be like to relax and to enjoy the journey. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we talk about, like, I always say to parents about children's education being like putting the bricks in the foundation. You go one brick at a time. You're not expecting to turn up and there's a wall built.
Yeah.
So the idea is, like, you know, it's a long road ahead, mm-hmm. and they're going to need you every step of the way. And so on this important first brick, you know, relax and enjoy the journey with your child.
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned, we have sufficient support for those who just joined our year
absolutely.
One. The parents, they definitely don't need to panic or anxious. Yeah, it's just enjoying the journey. And also, some of the parents, they usually underestimate their children's adaptability to a new environment.
Mm-hmm.
I see some of our children are really fitting to the new environment quickly, and their progress is huge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah. That's what we see with the children who are new to Wellington, and not just in year one, all the way up. You know, we have children, you know, joining every single year group at the start of every year. Mm-hmm. And those children, like, you know, will settle in quickly, you know, and we're there to support them. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 您可以去有一点耐心，或许你会发现孩子们在这样的一个过程当中，他的进步是要远超过你的想象的。所以就是放轻松。好，谢谢。好，谢谢。Thank
you very much. This is the end of our live stream. 感谢观众朋友们的观看。今天我们的直播到此结束，谢谢大家。